Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to church, everybody. Welcome to Release City. Welcome back to Becky and Steve Tyson, who have been away for about 9 weeks. Due to surgeries, and I can just tell you, and we're going to be sharing some more about some of the amazing praise reports that God has done in this house, and we will share. But they are a miracle from God being back with us in the house today. Amen. Come on, give it up, somebody. If you brought your Bibles this morning, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Book of Acts, chapter 16. So good to see everybody in the building today. Are you excited to be in the house today? I want to welcome those that are tuned in through Facebook Live. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you're only getting about 30 minutes of today's service. The real power moments actually just happened a few moments ago, so to get in on that, you got to come to the building. Amen. Amen. So if you're just around the corner sitting at the house, y'all should have been here. It was a good time. Amen. And the church said... Did you hear that? Amen. We love you. Thank you for tuning in and those that are listening by podcast. Acts chapter 16. Somebody said, man, that preacher will throw shade. I'm just saying. I mean, it's been a good day. Yeah. It's been a good day. Always good when you're in the house and God is present. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 16. This is a story that's already in place. I'm gonna look, just launch or dive right into verse 6. It says this, next, everybody say next. Yes. That means something happened before this. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them. Everybody say prevented. Yes. Who did? The Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching the word. Everybody go, yeah, interesting. Because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of, all these are such hard words today, Bithynia, sorry. But again, the Spirit, everybody say again. No, say again. Sorry, I messed you up. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him. And this is what the man said in the dream. Come over to Macedonia and help us. So Paul goes on to say, so we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Before we jump into this thing wholeheartedly, I just want to reemphasize verse 7. It says, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, everybody say again. The Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there, meaning God prevented them from going to preach the word. Everybody go, I want to speak to you today for just a few moments from the subject, proceed until prevented. Proceed until prevented. Those instructions may sound familiar to you, especially if you had a close relationship with our dad. If you ever went to dad for guidance and you were unclear about direction in your life, or maybe you were unclear about should you move forward with an opportunity that is presented itself to you, or do you just stay where you are, you might have been given those exact words from Coach Weber, and it was this, proceed until prevented. So what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks is we're going to talk about, and I think this is going to hit every one of us, what do you do when God says no? What do you do when God says no? Anybody ever been in one of those moments? Oh, me. So today we're going to talk about it. Today we're going to begin unpacking this subject and this thought. When God says No, and here's why. Because we know how to praise God when and celebrate with his goodness and when he opens a door. But how do we respond when God closes a door? How do we act when God keeps a door closed that we think he should open? Say it with me. Proceed until prevented. So I got a question. Have you ever been standing in front of a door that you wanted God to open? Show of hands. Yeah. I mean, you're on planet Earth. And if you're a Christian, I hope that there'd be a door that you would want him to open or a room that you wanted access to. Or maybe it was an opportunity that you really thought that you felt like God should let you have or something, an opportunity that you should walk into, but he didn't and the door remained closed. Anybody ever been there before? Have you ever walked up to a closed door that after much prayer and fasting, you expected that door to be open and it wasn't? There's a story in the Bible that I think perhaps is one of the greatest miracles of the Old Testament. It's found in Exodus chapter 14. You don't have to turn there. You're going to be very familiar with this story. It's in chapter 14 that God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh with this crazy command, let my people go. So Moses goes to Pharaoh. If you're not familiar with the story, Moses goes to Pharaoh just as God commanded and tells him, let my people go. But Pharaoh says, nope, not happening. Everybody say, closed door. I think they had, y'all may have talked to the hand. I'm pretty sure that was probably way back in Bible days. We just came up and thought, man, that's pretty cool. But I think it was probably happening way before we hit the scene. Amen. And the Bible records that God sends 10 plagues, and by the time the 10th one happens, it took Pharaoh's first son, so Pharaoh threw up his hands and told Moses, you can leave. As a matter of fact, here's some gold. Just take all your people and just go. There's too much happening around here that your God is allowing to happen, and if it takes letting you go, then get out of here. Everybody say, see ya. As they're leaving, Pharaoh realizes that not only are the people leaving, but there goes our economy, there goes our wealth, there goes our ability to make money. And he's thinking, I don't know how we're going to make money. I don't know who's going to work for us. So Pharaoh changes his mind and he sends his army after them. After he's already released them to go, he sends his army to stop them. And the Bible says the Pharaoh's army begins chasing them down, and the Israelites find themselves trapped between a rock. Welcome back. Amen. Now, those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, that was last week's message. Between a rock and a hard place. And it's at that moment that God instructs Moses. Where were they at? They were up against the Red Sea with the army, the Egyptian army, fast approaching. And it's that moment that God instructs Moses to do something very strange. God tells Moses to lift his hands. For some of y'all, that's a word for somebody right there. When you're facing a situation and you get between a rock and a hard place, if you can't do nothing else, lift your hands and say Jesus. Because see, Jesus is the only one that can change the situation. Hello. And he doesn't need your help. And this is a sign of surrender. And it's also a sign of praise. God, I praise you and I thank you for what you're going to do. See, we know all about how to praise him once the door's open. But what do you do when you're standing in front of a door? What do you do when you go to somebody's house and they haven't charged their little doorbell ring thing? Hey! Anybody in there? Hey, what's going on? Yeah? So that's what, when you're between a rock and a hard place and you don't know what else to do, you just throw up your hand and call on the name of, we've been singing about that name all morning. I mean, I don't purposefully, so we don't purposely. We don't purposely pick songs that deal with the same mapping of the name of Jesus. But if we were to take a few minutes, which we don't have any minutes left, if we were to take a few and look at of what really was going on in our worship today, it was directing your attention all back to, did you catch that? And he's the same God. And what he did back then, he'll do it again today. Do you believe it? Somebody say amen. So after Moses lifted his hands, God sent a strong wind. Everybody say super strong. God sent a strong wind, that, and it was so strong that it opened up the Red Sea right down the middle. Somebody say, won't he do it? Can you imagine a 100-foot wall of water on your right and on your left? I mean, and if that wasn't crazy enough, parting the water was only half the miracle. The other half was holding it in place. And that's not even the mind-blowing part. The mind-blowing part for me was, after he did this, parted the waters and held the water up so that the Israelites could pass through, the Bible says that the wind was so strong that they walked through on dry ground. There's a three-part miracle right there. He parted the sea. He held it in place. You remember the story about sun stand still? He held it in place. And then the wind was so strong that the ground they walked on, I don't know about y'all, we live in swampy area. Go Gators, right? Nah, whatever. We live in swampy area. If I was to go out even out to Cedar Key, and when the water the tide goes out, that ground's still soft and mushy. Amen. But the Bible says that he dried the ground beneath them. How is it that just a few moments ago there were fish swimming around? Little Nemo was swimming. Probably little Nemo, Finding Nemo. He was stuck in that wave that was 100 foot high, just his little tail going, can somebody please help me here? How is it that the fish were just a moment ago swimming around on that ocean floor or that seabed, and their crabs were roaming around, and within seconds, the Bible says that a wind came and dried the ground? It got me thinking, why would God dry the ground? And the answer is simple. I believe it's because God refused to allow them to take with them the residue of where they had been. Are you catching this? Because the place that God is trying to take many of us, we can't take with us the residue of where we've been. And I believe it's because God refused to allow them to take with them that residue, that he dried the ground. As a matter of fact, I believe that God is still in the drying business. Let me tell you what I mean. He'll dry up old tendencies. He'll dry up old habits. He'll dry up old memories. He'll dry up old relationships and all the old things that you thought you needed in order to do what God has called you to do. He'll dry that up. Where are all my brothers and sisters at that have been saved for 25, 30 plus years? Hear me. He will even dry up our old religious traditions. Why? Listen, because we've become infatuated with what was and we're stuck in the past. And what we don't realize is we're trying to hold on to what was. And when we do that, what was can actually prevent us from experiencing what could be. That's not real popular, I know, especially for those saints like myself that have been saved for a long time. I like the memories of what God did. I start thinking about this. Track with me, babe. I start thinking about this and where we were at before 2014 when we moved here in January, and things that we had to walk through. God will shut a door. Oh, I can't get there yet. You can, let me just say this. Somebody said, what was that? I have no idea. It was an emotion. It just happened. You can't take with you where God is leading you to with residue from your past. And it does. Listen, let me go back to the religious, our religious traditions. The things that were even good in our past, God is saying, I got to dry that up because it will taint the new of what I'm trying to do. Because the Bible says God is doing a new thing. Amen. And if I'm trying to hold on to my traditions, it will distort what God is trying to do new in me now. Somebody say he'll dry it up. God said, I'm going to dry the path you're on because you can't take the remnants of what was where you, and where you've been into the place that I'm leading you now. That's the word for Release City Church. Some of the hardest things, not just the fact of losing Dad and Robin, was that, yes, I look like Dad, but I'm not him. And when we made the transition in 2019, I didn't know if those of you that were here then, because many of you in this room don't even know who Dad is, other than some pictures you've seen and some things we may share from the platform. But one of my greatest fears was, I'm not him. I can't do it like him. I can't be like him. I can't preach like him. Y'all know that's the enemy trying to distort. You can't go where God is leading you to go and be somebody that you're not. God is trying to get you to the most original, authentic version of yourself. Can I tell you what really tripped me up about this story? What really tripped me out was the fact that God led the people to a closed door. He led them. He led them to a closed door. But I thought God was supposed to make the crooked way places straight and lead me, you know, through green pastures and easy. See, God led them to a closed door. God led them to a closed up Red Sea. Now, I can't speak for you, but maybe it's just me. But if God is leading me somewhere, I'm gonna be under the assumption that he's already opened the door for me. That's just me. I don't know about you, but if God's leading me, I'm thinking, well, if you're leading me there, you've already made everything ready for me. Can I tell you that since we've been here since 2014, that this whole process has been a growing, painful growing. God is trying to get you to be faithful in the process, because if he opens that door and you walk through it, you may destroy the entire thing if you're not ready. See, it already took them a lot of faith to leave Egypt, the children of Israel. Now God has led them to a place that's closed up. Something I've learned about God, he is never caught off guard by anything or any circumstance. Did you hear me? Think about some of the things, some of the battles, some of the things you're going through right now. God is never caught off guard by our oopsies. Our oopsies and the things that we have no control over. He's not surprised. This is what I know about God. God always has a plan. And he doesn't give us all the details. He knows the details, but he doesn't give them to us. The only point I'm going to give you today is this. God can open any door for anyone at any time. God can open any door for anyone at any time. If you need proof, the Red Sea is the proof. And to my knowledge, that's the only time that's been done. That's the proof that your God has absolutely zero limits, which means when you're out of options, your God is just getting started. For the children of Israel, they were out of options. As a matter of fact, when the Egyptian army was chasing them, they recognized that they were out of options, and they started complaining to the very one that led them out and put them in that predicament. They followed Moses. Then when they got there, they started murmuring and complaining. Have you ever found yourself at a place where you felt like you had trusted God? You followed his instructions, but his instructions only led you to a dead end? Anybody? So did the Israelites. Let me just read this for you. I don't even know if this is going to be on the screen or not. It's Exodus chapter 14. Did I do it? I did. It is there. Exodus chapter 14. I just want to read this for you real quick. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 10. I think we only got 11 up there, but I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt?" Smack talk. What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt. Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians that you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you if you only be still. There's some individuals that we share photos with throughout the week of Bible verses, and that one comes up all the time, and it gets shared with me all the time, and I don't think it's by mistake. Because I'm all over the place. Jesus, I got to fix this. And Jesus, they're thinking this. And what can I do to make this better? He says, just be. Yeah, but God, this is so painful. This thing that I'm going through, it's so hard. Just be still. And know confidently God has got you. Everybody say, God has a plan. I'm almost done. Another thing I want to point out quickly about this story in Exodus was we know how to praise God when he opens the door, but we don't know how to celebrate when he closes the door. Door was once open, now it's closed. See, it was Moses' sister, Miriam, who was the worship leader when they got to the other side of the Red Sea. And what I found so interesting about the songs that she wrote, there was not a single lyric in a song that said anything about God opening the Red Sea. He said absolutely nothing about what God did in opening the Red Sea. Now, wait a minute. How are we going to get to the other side and not even acknowledge or talk about the fact that he opened up the sea? I mean, we put it on Facebook. Won't he do it? The Lord bless me. And he does. But wait a minute. You know what she talked about? She talked about the fact that when they got to the other side, he closed the door. He closed up the ocean. That's all the worship was about. That's all the praise was about. It wasn't about he split the sea, he parted the water. No, it was he closed the door. Watch this now. And this got me thinking. What good is an open door if your enemy has access to it? Which leads me back to 2013 and back a few years, my baby. God created a door for our family to walk through, and once we did, he closed the door. I actually fought. What does that look like? That's old relationships. Crutches, not these kind, people that I leaned on. Because I was leaning on the wrong person. Go back with me last week. Remember who we lean on? The rock. When you're between a rock and a hard place, lean on the rock. So he closed the door on some things that were very upsetting. But what we didn't know, and I didn't see until starting this study, that he has to close the door to prevent the enemy to follow you to freedom and to your victory. So when God closes the door, just go, I don't understand, but I trust your heart for me. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That'll preach. Not only did he open up the sea, but he closed it at just the right time so that what was chasing them was drowned by the very thing God used to give them access. I don't know who this is for, but I believe God sent me here to tell you this. God is about to drown the very thing that's been chasing you, and he's going to use your victory to do it. The Bible says that when they came through on the other side, that they made their way through on wet land, dry ground. And as I was praying for you this week, I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, you tell them this, not only will their feet be dry when they get to the other side of where I'm taking them, but I'm going to dry their eyes. And that got me thinking. Is God have a problem with crying? I hope not. I already told you, I'm a crybaby. God doesn't have a problem with crying. Listen, the situation may seem hopeless. God says, I'm about to bring you some hope. That thing that's been worrying you and causing you anxiety, I will take it from you if you'll let me. You say, well, is God concerned with tears? No. He wants to dry your eyes. Listen, because you've got to be able to see and have clear vision for where he's wanting to take you next. As I was finishing my notes yesterday, I just began to get this sense that God is wanting to deal with the very thing that's bringing you heartache and pain. I'm getting ready to bring this down, so stay with me. Lean in real good, because I'm getting ready to tie this together just for this week. God is wanting to deal today with the very thing that has been bringing you heartache and pain. That thing that's been keeping you up at night. That thing that's been holding you back. That thing that is robbing you of your joy and the ability to live your life to the fullest. The Bible says that when the devil robs our joy, he's got our strength. Amen. That's why when our joy is robbed, or we can't seem to find joy because of what's happening around us, we can't seem to push through it. You know why? Because when he gets my joy, he gets my strength. So you got to fight back. Are you listening? I wish I could just shake y'all right here. Are you listening? When circumstances go crazy, God, I don't understand, but I thank you for it. I thank you for it. It may sound crazy, and that craziness confuses the devil. Because I can't let him. If he gets my joy, he gets my strength, and I can't win without that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So what is that thing that you feel like's been holding you back? For some, he's wanting to deal with that trauma from your childhood. For others, he's wanting to wipe away your tears once and for all so he can show you and then lead you to what he has for you next. I believe every single one of us, in closing, I believe every single one of us are on an individual journey with God. And he desires more than anything to lead you and guide you through every aspect of your life here on earth. You do realize when you accept Jesus into your heart that when you take your last breath here, you don't die. You just take your first breath in heaven. You do know that. The Bible declares that death is not the end. Amy and I were just having this conversation just this weekend. Death is not the end. People who have faced death, I've heard them say, I'm not scared to die, because that person was confident that I'm not going to die. You're just not going to see me for a little while, but I'll be very much alive in Christ. There are two dynamics of today's talk, and I really thought that we were going to cover both aspects today. But the Holy Spirit showed me yesterday as I was finalizing some things that we were only going to go halfway, and now I see why. Because that was important, what we did. That was important. And I think I gave you just enough today for you to start chewing on how have I been handling that closed door that I really think God should be opening for me. And I don't understand, how do we handle that? Today's talk really dealt with us not being able to proceed because of things that we're allowing to prevent us. Did you know that you can prevent God from opening the door? He might be standing at the door with his hand on the knob, ready to open it. And because I'm pitching a fit, because I'm showing my hiney, I mean, you do know that the fight gets the strongest just before the breakthrough. What are you doing when the fight gets the strongest? Are you pitching a fit? I mean, he's getting ready to swing the door off the hinges and you start acting a fool? Oh, let me talk about me, because y'all probably got it all together. I start acting a fool and he goes, he wasn't ready. And he stands at the door and goes, he's not ready. I don't know about you. I need to show God I'm ready. And just because I think that that room is for me, that door was never meant to open for me. And I got to be okay with that. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. But today, I feel like God is saying this. In just the next few moments, I believe some people are going to get set free. I'm not going to drag this out. But this is why I showed up today. Because in order for you and I to go to what he has for us next, we got to get some residue off. We got to get some residue. Not only is the checking account right now preventing us from launching the construction of the church, which we're on time, by the way. We're on time. Because we own his time. We own time. And we will build at the speed of sacrifice. But it's not just the checkbook. It's not just the checkbook that's preventing us from doing that. It's the residue of where we've been. It's the residue of where we are. We can't take it there, y'all. He will not allow it to be tainted with our worldly pleasures and desires, our religious traditions. He won't, y'all. I want to do a new thing. Y'all know when I point there, I'm talking about a couple miles down the road. Financially, we're about $2,000 off a week of paying for that $18,000, $19,000 mortgage. We're about $2,000 off a week. We're just family. I'm just like, we're almost there. Like, where we've been as a ministry, we've never been where we are financially as a ministry. We are doing more for the people in our community and our school system and other things that God has given us the opportunity, because I'm a generous pastor. That's just me. I have a generous heart. So don't be like, well, yeah, I'm just telling you, we're almost there. We're almost there. But that's not the only thing. Today, God wants to. He wants to dry the residue from your feet, from where you've been and where you are. Everybody standing all over this room. Some of you in this room today have residue that needs to be dried up before he can lead you to what he has for you next. Can I share with you what God shared with me this morning as I was getting ready? I couldn't get to my phone fast enough to get it in there. He said this. He said, the hardest part of the pain we've experienced isn't going through the experience. The hardest part of the pain wasn't going through it. The hardest part is letting go of the experience that caused so much pain. It's not what you're going through, it's letting go of the pain. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know how more plainer that I could have made it today in such a short period of time. But there is a place, listen to my voice, there is a place that God wants to lead you. And for some, you are just steps away from walking through that door. But before he can allow you to pass through the threshold, he wants to remove some residue. You cannot go. You cannot. He will not allow it. You cannot go
where God is wanting to lead you with the residue of where you are and where you've been. Oh, sure, where you've been and where you are has made you who you are. But he wants to clean that up. He wants to clean it up a little bit. So if you're here today, on the count of three, I don't know what the residue is. That's none of my business. That's between you and God. He knows. He just wants you to know he knows. If you really want to move into what to your next, could it be the only thing stopping you from arriving is your refusal to turn it over? So right now, I'm asking, if you want, if you're ready to let it go, it, when I say it, I want you to picture in your mind what it is. What is it? What is it? What is the residue? What is it for you? For some, it's going to be real easy. For others, it's going to take a minute. But don't let it keep you from your next. If you're ready to go and move into your next from where you are now, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your right hand up just as fast as you can. I want to lead you in a prayer. Are you ready? One, two, three. I don't want where I've been to hold me back to what he has for me next. I don't want old hurts and old pains and old trauma and old memories. I don't want where I am right now, even though it's fresh. I don't want it to stop me from getting into my next. So if you have your hand up, I want you to place it just in front of you like this right here, along with your other hand, just like this, like you would if you're receiving something. But in order for you to receive it, you got to let it go. It go. Whatever it is, repeat these words. Oh God, I come before you right now. Here it is. Here it is. My pain, my burden, my trauma, my questions, my doubt, my unbelief, my traditions. Here it is. Take it. Take it now in Jesus' name. I relinquish my grip on this hurt, on this disappointment. Father, forgive me for holding and carrying that which you never meant for me to carry. And I give it to you now. I give it to you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Family and friends, you've been set free. You've been set free. You've been set free. Y'all, you've been set free. There's ground to take, there's territory to take, and there's rooms that you and I have been called and predestined. It's been spoken that you're supposed to walk into that room. Now you can. Now you can. Now you can. You've been set free. I need you to high five somebody around you. Tell them, say, I feel free. Come on, tell them, say, I feel free. Adam, come. I feel free. I feel free. Y'all, I prayed all week long for this message. Because I don't want to be the reason that we can't step into our next. I don't want you to be the reason. I don't want you to be the reason that you can't walk in your walk from now into next. The hardest thing to do is look in the mirror and go, I'm the problem. It's the hardest thing to do. And most of the time, I'm the thing keeping me from advancing. But today, I've been set free. Do you receive that? Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. I love you.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.